Mad Radio, John McClain is with us tomorrow. Ask McClain anything tomorrow at 8 o'clock when we will be one day away from the NFL draft. Mad Takes coming up later this hour. Karl Anthony Towns, you are not a big fan of his. The Rockets won. They crushed the Timberwolves last night 119-100. They scored 50 points in the third quarter, second most in the history of the NBA playoffs. I actually don't hate Karl Anthony Towns because I like to there's a part of me that roots for the younger players in the NBA in general. Not in this series, of course. Mm-hmm. I'm rooting heavily against Karl Anthony Towns. But the thing that bothers me in this series is Derrick Rose's resurgence bothers me.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if Derrick Rose had this resurgence, he should be in Cleveland and playing in Cleveland and not playing against the team I'm rooting for in the postseason.
I like Derrick. You know what I like about Derrick Rose's resurgence is just his whole revamped look. I feel like he's the girl that got discovered a new part of herself and she's got a renewed confidence and whatnot. Like even every time, like when I see Derrick Rose driving, I still have to remind myself that it's Derrick Rose and not somebody else. I like that. The thing I don't like about Karl Anthony Towns is just, you know what I don't like about him. He's been mocking James Harden.
And he complains.
James Harden has some air balls, and he's looking off into the crowd, like with his hand over his eyes, like he's peering off into the distance. Like, who the hell are you, Karl Anthony Towns, to mock James Harden? You've shown up in one out of four games, so you showed up last night.
He showed up last night.
But this is the problem, though. If you're going to be, you've got an old school coach and Tom Thibodeau who still wants to play in old school ways in a lot of ways. And there's a place for Karl Anthony Towns, but I know what your objection or why you want to defend Karl Anthony Towns. And it's because you can sense that Shaq and Barkley are just loading up. And within a year, they're going to be saying the same things about Karl Anthony Towns that they used to say about Dwight Howard. That he needs to be a dominant big man, that he needs to be posting people up. And now I think this is where the pendulum swings both ways. I think as the league gears towards being this small ball league where everybody's switching all the time, there are opportunities for guys like Karl Anthony Towns to really take advantage of some of those matchups in the post.
Definitely.
And he's not doing it right now. I'll give him an excuse because he's a younger player and he hasn't developed the acumen necessarily that an older player might have, the savvy that an older player might have. But I won't give him an excuse for getting shut down by James Harden in the post and then mocking him. And I'm not surprised that James Harden is defending him well. James Harden is a good post defender. Like, you have to, everybody always says it. Every time they see it, they act like it's like they just saw
revelation.
A purple cow or something. Like, oh my gosh, you know what? James Harden, who's widely regarded as a good post defender, is defending somebody well in the post. So he does that, which is fine. Like, there's no shame in that. You're a young player. But don't go mocking him for his air balls when he's a much better basketball player than you. A much better basketball player.
Yeah, that part I can't really defend. Here was Shaq and Barkley on TNC criticizing Karl Anthony Towns.
He's out way too far. He need to get down on the white box. Great move right here. Great strong move. Once he learns those little tendencies, he'll probably be one of the best big men in the league. But you can't let little guys push you out. That's a no-no. You can never let that happen.
And the Houston Rockets, they switch everything. He's going to have a mismatch every single time they run the pick and roll. And he got to be patient. You see now, after he scored a couple times on the pick and roll, this part of his game is going to make him a great player. Now they got to come double. And then that's going to help all those other guys get wide open jump shots. But every time they switch, and I called them dummies the other night, only because they were. Like, if they're going to switch every single time and put a little guy on Karl Anthony Towns, we're going to run the same play every time.
Every time.
I run it to death if I'm Tibbs. I'm like, hey, run the pick and roll. Cat going to have a mismatch on Eric Gordon or Chris Paul or James Harden, and we're going to get wide open shots all over the place. Or Cat's going to score every time.
I was good with about the first half of that. The first half made complete sense to me. The latter half has some issues.
Some of it slips. You know what it does? It slips back into them thinking about the old days when defenses were different, and you could just, it was a true one-on-one league, and it's just not the same anymore. It's not as simple as that anymore.
Let's get to know more about Karl Anthony Towns. You've developed a severe dislike for. Here, his five favorite rappers. Do we want to guess this? I don't think I'm qualified for that.
Can you name five rappers? There's Tanaki 6ix9ine.
Yep. Eminem.
Takashi, right?
Takashi. Is it Takashi 6ix9ine?
Takashi 6ix9ine. Yeah. All right, here are Karl Anthony Towns' favorite five rappers.
I have to say Mac Miller, Drake, Meek Mill, Kendrick Lamar, and J. Cole.
Hey, let me ask you a question about Meek Mill. Was Meek Mill a popular? Like, how popular was Meek Mill before his incarceration?
He was popular, and he was also dating Nicki Minaj, so that helped with his popularity.
Was he big time? Was he like
in Philadelphia? Yeah, I mean, he's pretty big. Yeah, he's big, but Drake kind of made him look pretty bad when they had their beef. So he's kind of his career kind of went down. Yeah, yeah.
Did Drake actually make him look that bad, or was it just that Drake has more famous and powerful friends?
Nah, he got him.
But it was how did he get him?
People wanted to turn on Drake, but Drake dominated him just in their tracks, their counter tracks. He killed him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he murdered him.
Boy, that seems like a stressful existence. It's got to be where, like, as a rapper, though, when you're in a genuine battle with somebody and you're doing diss tracks and everything, it probably really hones your creative skills. It's like you're fighting somebody.
I'm curious. All right, so Karl Anthony Towns, his favorite wrestlers. I'm going to guess that his favorite
professional
wrestlers,
or amateur, Olympic or professional.
I'm gonna guess professional.
He's like John Smith, four-time NCAA champion.
What's the name of that big guy? Was it Paul Wright? That big dude.
You remember Big Show?
Yeah, him. Yeah.
Big Show. Big Show.
I'm gonna predict that either that guy or the Undertaker are his favorite wrestlers. Let's figure out if I'm correct or not on that.
My favorite wrestler growing up was Goldberg, actually. I was a very big Goldberg fan.
Huh.
As back in the day. But I definitely, on that same level, I was a huge fan of Mick Foley, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and The Rock.
Well, let's see. Stone Cold Steve Austin, you have to give him points for that, I suppose. Maybe I hate him a little bit less. The Rock, I feel like he went with a very pop culture, like, he went with the most popular of the popular dudes there. Was there ever, like, who was the last guy? Oh, he said Nick Foley.
Mick Foley.
I always confuse Nick Foles and Mick Foley. It's an easy, easy.
It's a very easy thing to
mistake those
both
two.
Are champions. Both are champions.
Both are. Yeah, that's right.
Mick Foley's a New York Times best-selling author.
Yes, though. He is.
Have a Nice Day was the book, I think. It's a good one.
He went with the very popular guys. So, like, who's gonna not like those dudes? I mean, the Goldberg one was a good one because people don't think about Goldberg much these days.
What's Brock? Is Lesnar's wrestling now, or is he going back to UFC?
He's doing both. I think he's supposed to lose the championship pretty soon, but he's going back to UFC pretty soon too.
What a shame that he wasn't good at football.
I know, that would have been
really
fun.
Like, he just, man.
He looked really weird on the practice field, man. Well, like, those practice field highlights were awkward.
Yeah, I know. It's like, it is a skill, you know?
It's a skill.
That was almost like he looked like in middle school when the coach sees, like, the 260-pound guy just sitting by himself playing hacky sack in the corner, socially awkward, and he tries to take him out to the football field.
Guard.
That's what he looked like.
Yeah.
What wrestler?
Which is the thing about it is there have been a lot of other guys, like, really good wrestlers that didn't play football in college that went on to have productive careers in the NFL. Like, it usually translates pretty. They should have. He's not big enough to play offensive line. That's the problem. Usually that's the easier transition. But anyway,
what wrestler does Karl Anthony Towns remind himself of when he is on the court?
On the court, I don't see myself being more of The Rock. I think The Rock flares and has too much showtime in him, so I don't really do all that flopping a lot, so I'll probably say no to that.
What?
I think I'm more of a Stone Cold. You know, you go out there, no fear, no worries, and just go out there and just try to beat the other opponent up as much as possible.
All right, you're so un-Stone Cold Steve Austin.
You have to be kidding.
How are you, like, there's no flair to you. You're trying so hard to have some kind of flair.
I don't even mind him flopping per se. I'm not a huge fan of it, but, like, at least own what you do.
Yeah.
You have to own what you do. Come on.
Karl Anthony, that's good. I'm glad you've come over to my side of the equation. I'm not even going to say the dark side.
It's just the
proper and right side. Karl Anthony Towns is to be despised, and he is to be the object, the focus. This is what I'm going to tell people. They're going to be at Toyota Center for Game 5. Karl Anthony Towns is the most mentally fragile of that group. He's the guy that's been trash on the road, but then strong at home when he has the friendly folks. He needs that crowd support behind him. He will not respond well to abject derision, booing, all of that stuff. Hate sports hatred. So focus your attention on Karl Anthony Towns. He will fold, and Clint Capella will take advantage of it. Clint Capella, if you truly love Clint Capella, you'll exploit the mental fragility of Karl Anthony Towns.
Game 5 tomorrow night. Rockets trying to close out the Timberwolves. Astros fell 2-0 to the Angels last night. Tyler Skaggs got the win. and they were able to survive some traffic on the base paths in the last two innings, with the Astros not quite being able to come through with Correa and then Gattis and then Marwin. Not really Max Stassi's fault. They actually ended up losing the game. Shohei Ohtani making the start tonight. We are getting to know Ohtani.
Were we? I thought we were going to play a bed of Japanese music under this, but did what? What's the thing? We got too scared that somebody would think that was culturally insensitive or something.
That's correct.
What if we? I thought as long as we maybe grabbed like his high school's fight song or something, we could do that. But that took a little more research than we had planned on.
Yeah,
so we won't do that.
It's not that easy.
We're just going to play. It's not. All right, fine.
Ohtani.
We're going to bow it. We're going to be scared our whole lives.
No, Let's do it.
Because all it takes is one person. Shock jocks play respectful Japanese music as they speak in their normal accents about Shohei Ohtani.
I'll try to find his favorite music.
Find his favorite music, which might very well be Aldebarge or something. We don't know if it's Japanese music. Yeah.
Nobody knows.
Play some K-pop.
Nobody.
If we really want to be.
Nobody knows his interests outside of baseball. That he's. So
I don't think
focused.
He really has any. They try to get him go out, and he won't go out. Mm-hmm. They'll do stuff with him, but he's not going to go out partying. Not that your only interest has to be partying, but he's very focused just on baseball and baseball alone.
He apparently emailed his manager at one point during his career in high school after a bad outing, and he demanded that he be used the next day. He felt so badly about his performance.
Oh, it was after a bad pitching performance, where he usually wouldn't bat the next day, but he demanded that he had to get out there because he couldn't sleep. This is where I was saying, earlier you had said that he's calm. I think he's outwardly calm, but I think he beats himself up over his bad performances.
And he called the manager Mr. Manager.
That's how he still calls him, Mr. Manager.
He's known for his politeness.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's good to know, because if I had heard him say like Mr. Manager to somebody or something, I would think like, oh, that must be a Japanese customer or something. Because look at me.
I found his walk-up music.
Okay, here we go.
Found his walk-up music. It is called Fashion Monster. It's by a Japanese punk rock band.
Damn, play this. Is this his walk-up music here?
It's what his teammates picked for him, yes.
Okay.
Well, he's not gonna bat here because of the start tonight, so we won't get to experience it. So you guys get to experience it now on the radio.
Yeah, you get to play. It's okay, and you know what? This doesn't sound like if we're going to play. Yeah, okay, I'm good with this. Let's go.
Ohtani, I didn't realize he only pitched 25 innings last year because he was hurt, and apparently they did something that I don't think anybody does in Major League Baseball. Late in the season, Chris Martin, the Rangers reliever, told this story to ESPN.com. They apparently use Ohtani in the on-deck circle with no actual plan to let him hit. Martin was talking about how they like brought him out and people go crazy, 50,000 people, but they never actually planned to get him.
Well, they know because they're using that to affect the pitching decision.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
it wasn't like they did it so the crowd would go wild. They were using it to affect which reliever they're going to throw out.
But they
didn't
even apparently plan to have him play, because usually you would do that in a strategic way with a guy who's actually playing, if that makes sense, or has a chance to play.
Right.
But they were apparently only doing it for show, basically.
Oh, they were.
That's not how I read it.
I thought they were doing it as a threat.
Maybe I'm wrong. Okay. The guy who managed Shohei Ohtani in high school, Sasaki, he wrote that he wants Ohtani, or he said that he wants him to struggle for at least 2 years. Quote, for his sake, I want him to struggle for at least 2 years. For his sake as a person, for him to grow and further blossom, the struggles he will go through are something that is needed. That is why he is constantly smiling. He is definitely enjoying this struggle, and he will find the ability to overcome within himself.
I wonder about that, though, sometimes. Sometimes I feel like that's old school coach or manager mentality where, like, well, you got to struggle. But I don't know. Sometimes guys don't struggle. Like, sometimes the struggle is great and it's character building and all of that. But, like, sometimes you're Mike Trout. You know? And, like, I guess Mike Trout struggled for a little bit. But is Mike Trout, like, all of a sudden worse for the wear that he didn't have 2 years of struggle? It seems like he's just fine off the field, on the field, performance-wise.
This Sasaki guy is not aware of the American hot take sports culture. If Ohtani struggled for 2 years, people would be...
It would destroy him.
It would be a big problem.
He'd be back in Japan.
He might be back in Japan.
2 years is too long. Struggle in America. We're looking at, like, look, we'll give him 2 months.
Here are Ohtani's goals, some of his goals, listed basically by age. He wants to throw a no-hitter, win 25 games.
Well, this is what he listed when he was how old? Was he? He was like a teenager when he listed these goals.
High schooler. Yes, so a teenager, yes. So throw a no-hitter, win 25 games, win the World Series, get married, and he wants to throw a no-hitter in his very last game.
Yeah. Which was going to be at the age of 40-something, wasn't it?
Yep, age 40, he said. Yeah, and he said that his stats would drop at the age of 38, start to think about retirement, then age 40, throw a no-hitter in his very last game.
I still think about the fact that he turned down a whole lot of money. Like, he would have, if he would have stayed healthy for 2 years, he would have signed a huge deal as a free agent to come to...
For at least 100, 150?
Probably. Where now, I mean, if the Angels wanted to... Correct me if I'm wrong. They've just got him locked down for the next 6 years. Like, his big money wouldn't be until he hits arbitration. The one thing, and I always wondered this, is part of the reason that he went to the Angels, aside from being on the West Coast and all that stuff, is it that the Angels rewarded Mike Trout long before they had to?
Possible.
That okay, at the very least, if you're going to give up this money, go to a place that Mike gives you a little wink-wink and be like, all right, listen, we're not going to make you play. We're not going to be out. You're not going to be in arbitration 5 years from now.
All right, rapid fire, knowing Shohei Ohtani. He was inspired by Hideki Matsui. He was throwing in the mid-90s at age 16. He was 6'5" when he was 17, and he was becoming a dynamic player, suffered through a bunch of injuries both in high school and then professionally, lets his parents take care of his finances. They basically give him a stipend.
They give him a pretty minimal stipend, don't they?
$1,000 a month in his personal bank account.
I mean, he's past the age of going like Jennifer Capriati, I think. I don't think, like, I think his upbringing wasn't so strict and severe that all of a sudden he's going to turn into Tiger Woods in the club. I think this guy's, he's on the straight and narrow for the rest of his life. He'll be a very, very boring human.
Ken Carman, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland, will join us at 9:20 this morning. We have Matt Takes on the way, including one of the weirdest stories of the NBA playoffs involving a theft. And do we actually believe Kevin Durant's explanation for this?